Hello and welcome to Meandering Design. Today we're going to be talking about clutter. So friends often contact me to ask if they can get rid of something or the best way to get rid of something. Often their question has a hint of, will the universe implode and my mother-in-law never speak to me again if I get rid of this one very ugly, very unwanted tchotchke question. I actually had someone recently who didn't know what a tchotchke was. It's those weird little collectibles you'll see sprinkled throughout someone's home. They're completely unnecessary, but they often have sentimental value. I would also argue the uglier the trinket, the higher the sentimental value. I don't mean to mock the tchotchke or trinket or bauble or whatever you want to call it, because I have a few of them too. It's just that sometimes we let the emotional value of something far outweigh its usefulness, or what we perceive someone else's emotional value of the thing is. If you've been carrying something around for years that you never use or don't care for, then it's time to think about letting it go. And yes, that even means gifts you have received. I often joke that I'm either a hoarder with minimalist tendencies or a minimalist with hoarder tendencies. My house is not a shrine to clear surfaces and clutter-free closets. I do have things, and I love collecting vintage items or mementos for my travels. Except I try really hard not to let those items define who I am. Yes, they do tell the story of who I am and where I've been, but they are not status symbols or things that I purchase to fill a void that I have within. Completely off track and random thing here, but did you know the term keeping up with the Joneses refers to the family of Edith Wharton's father, who were quite wealthy, and in the mid-1850s they built these huge, grandiose, and some may argue monstrously ugly houses. So besides being an author, Edith Wharton, who was also an interior designer, which is a little known fact, and she co-wrote one of the first interior design books. If you've ever read The Age of Innocence by Wharton or seen the movie, you'll see characters trying to keep up with the rich and how it leads to the downfall of a few of them. It's a reoccurring theme in a few of her novels and novellas. One of my favorite books of all time is The House of Mirth, and that need to be seen as wealthy is part of what leads to Lily Bart's tragic end. Also, if you read Edith Wharton's novels, you can almost see the rooms in the houses, which you can kind of understand how she became an interior designer at later on in life. So my apologies for the digression, but I'm an English major and I can't help myself. So the point is that when we focus on the outward trappings of what people think of us, how we think of others, how we think others will see our car or our homes, then we build a facade, something that has a pretty outer trapping, but nothing of substance to hold it up. At first glance, my house doesn't look like it has a lot of stuff, but it's hiding away in drawers and closets. I've gone through almost all the drawers in my house over the last year, and it's amazing what you can find, a ton of useless stuff. I'll admit that next up is the kitchen, which I've kind of been avoiding because it's a bit of a mess. So that leads me to the first step of decluttering. Don't buy it in the first place, which I can see it's hard to do sometimes. I am completely susceptible to the lure of something new and shiny as a pick-me-up when I'm feeling sad or angry, annoyed, or like the world is conspiring against me. You know those days where you realize it would have been better if you just stayed in bed? Sometimes a piece of jewelry, a new candle, a pair of boots or two, or a new outfit seems like it could make your day. And yet I have to caution that you step away from the item. It's even harder to resist shopping these days because it's so easy to do. You can search, click, and throw down your credit card, and the item is on its way. I don't even have to shower and leave my house to shop. Except that item gets added to the pile of already unused items, and you've spent your hard-earned dollars on something you're not using. So the next time you feel the need to buy something, try something else instead. Go for a walk, have a cup of tea, or call a friend. If you feel like you need that thing, then get it, but try to resist that first impulse to buy something to soothe the feeling. I've started only buying stuff to replace items that are worn out or no longer functional. or if it's on the list of things that I need. It's helped to check my impulse buys. Not all the time, mind you, but most of the time. The second step in decluttering is to imagine what you want in life. How do you want your home to make you feel? Do you want it to be a calm, energized, a place where you can host dinner parties or do arts and crafts, or where you feel like you have a space to meditate or do yoga or have dance parties? How do you feel when you walk in the door? If the answer is anxious or stressed out, then really drill down into how you want your home to feel and how you want it to function. So, for example, if you want to spend more time with your family by having dinner together, but the dining room table is buried under clutter, then that may be hard to do. I want my home to feel warm and welcoming, not just to me, but to the people around me. I am a bit of an introvert, as I've mentioned before, and so my idea of a good time is to have a couple of friends over and to make dinner and drink some wine. So I want people to feel welcome in my home. I want also to have a space where I can do projects. You know, the most recent thing I did was rewire a vintage lamp. It's a place to read my books, entertain friends, and a space to run meandering design. I think I've created that environment, but it's been made possible by clearing away the clutter and putting things away. So when I get home or people come over to the house, it feels cozy and not messy. The third step is to determine your letting go limits. Over the years, I've become much more realistic about what my heart and my head can live without, but it's taken a while. Letting go is a process. You don't just wake up one morning and decide you're a new person, and therefore you're ready to get rid of everything that may remind you of your past. I would also caution of getting rid of everything that reminds you of, you know, someone in your past or parts of your past. It's okay to save some of your own history. We change gradually as human beings. We learn new life lessons, we get knocked down and get back up and soldier on. Sometimes we get knocked down and it takes a while to pick up the pieces and put ourselves back together. You know, as this happens, we grow, we change, we struggle, and along the way, we attribute meaning to our possessions. I also think that we feel the need to leave something of us behind. That this may be more me than you, but I'm going to put it out there. A reminder of who we are and what our story was. When a loved one dies, we're left with memories, but also photos, letters, and maybe a treasured item of theirs. I struggle with this need to tell my story and also get rid of things. I think I'm influenced by archaeology, anthropology, and history. I remember reading a journal of a woman who lived during the Civil War. She was completely unextraordinary, and yet her private words became part of a historical archive. You know, what is my history if I don't have those journals and letters? I'm kind of guessing, like I said, that not everyone struggles with this on the level that I do. But I would say it may be back in your mind, in the back of your mind. You know, when this goes, who am I? A friend who was moving sent me a quick message asking if she could get rid of her yearbook. And sometimes I feel like people are asking me for permission to let things go. She mentioned they'd been sitting in her closet for 7 years and she'd not looked at them. You know, the historian in me is saying, no, don't get rid of them. But really, I told her she should get rid of them, but it may be worth saving the one senior yearbook. I'll admit, I got rid of my yearbooks years ago, along with all of my high school letters. Nowadays, our clutter is mainly electronic, but that may have to be a whole nother podcast. So high school is a point in time in my life that is now past, and I'll admit, it wasn't a very good time for me. I was struggling with a lot of things that were happening in my home that most people didn't know about. I was kind of an odd girl and would read books while walking through the hallways. People who know me today wouldn't even recognize who I used to be. I don't really need to hold on to those memories, and so I let them go. The last time I was really focused on decluttering my home, I realized that I was holding on to things that were gifts from people who I used to be close to, but we drifted apart and they were no longer in my life. They were things that weren't useful to me, and the meaning behind them was actually kind of painful because that person was no longer a friend. Why would I hold on to something like this? And so I let it go. I've also learned to let go of people, and this has been a hard one. I'm the type of person that keeps friends forever. Yet there have been people who don't provide me with love and support, and Well, they don't do it deliberately. They've caused me emotional angst or harm. And I've cut that out of my life. Like I said, it's hard and it isn't something I do often. But I choose to surround myself with people who are positive, supportive, and give me a whole heck of a lot of love. And I'm pretty sure that's what I give them in return. So you may not be ready to let something go, and that's okay. There's a little bit of the Hippocratic Oath at play here. First, do no harm. Be patient with yourself. It's hard to embark on this journey of clearing out your home. It isn't just a logical act of, oh, this thing doesn't serve me anymore and I'm going to get rid of it. There can be layers of emotions that you might have to work through before you can pass something on. There's a reason why Marie Kondo, in her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, says to leave items with emotional value for the end of your clearing process. I'll also do a podcast about useful tips and tricks, along with great resources for decluttering for another time. I've found that people ignore the emotions behind cleaning up clutter, when the reality is you're clearing out more than things. You are also metaphorically clearing out the emotional cobwebs. So for today, if you're feeling overwhelmed by too many things in your life, just sit with it. Try to see if you can figure out what the emotions are behind that feeling. So to recap, try to stop buying things. Don't just automatically go forth and buy. Really sit with those feelings. Try to figure out why it is you feel the need to buy the object. So stop buying new things. Imagine the home you want to live in and start thinking about letting things go and examine the emotions that you have behind the items that are in your home. And if you're in Chicago, I teach a class called Life Redesigned, which helps you clear out the emotional and physical clutter, get clear on your goals and priorities, and help you create the space to support what it is you want to do. You can find out more at meanderingdesign.com/classes. So thank you so much for listening. And if you like this podcast or you think someone else could get some great information from this podcast, please share it or leave a review on iTunes. Thanks so much, and bye-bye.